Alright, my muscle project, welcome back to this episode of The Arthur Show. If we sound a little bit different, it's because we are using a temp podcast studio. What happened to our gear rack?
Yeah, well, the fitness expo has taken away my voice and taken away our podcasting equipment.
Why are you blaming the fitness expo? Raph left the gear at his house. That's where it is. But it's alright. Luckily, we are in a co-working space that has its own official podcast studio. We like it. Not maybe our like flavor, but it's good stock standard podcasting gear. Solid as a rock. All right, this week, before we jump into some listener questions, we are going to go over kind of the training at the moment. We're about just over 2 weeks into our training goal. Happy to update you guys a little bit on that. Some lessons we're learning at the moment. We've got the US podcast tour coming up, obviously. I may or may not go over sort of all the... Let's save the guests. Well, once we have all the guests locked in, then we'll do like an official release of everyone we've got. So that, very much looking forward to that trip coming up in May. So what's that, like 3 weeks away?
Yeah, we're really close.
Wow. So very exciting stuff. And just overall just pumped to meet some new people. Yeah, some familiar faces, of course, but to reach out to some new networks, that's going to be very exciting. Very exciting. Okay, before we jump into the questions today, guys, remember, Activated Nutrients is the best greens powder on the market, undoubtedly. Over 50 whole food vitamins and minerals. You get everything from like spirulina to vitamin B6, all the things you need, omega-3s, omega-6s, and you get it all in like one teaspoon in the morning. Like, it's incredible. So the thing about micronutrients is it just is one of those things that you absolutely need. You need it before you need macronutrients almost, and people just neglect it all the time. So go to activatednutrients.com and subscribe to, like, actually subscribe to any of the products. Subscribe to the podcast like you subscribe to the products, and vice versa. So you can actually get the products 20% off when you subscribe to them. That way they get delivered to your door every month. If you are interested in looking after your health, because the symptoms of looking after your health is being leaner, having a better body, having a better state of mind, then absolutely go do it. activatednutrients.com.
And if you want the best way to have it, it's with coconut water.
Is it?
Coconut water and Activated Nutrients. I don't know. It's the combination of tastes. It's just, I mean, it tastes really good just in water.
Yeah.
But it is the best and most enjoyable way. Really?
Wow. I haven't actually tried that combo. I might try that combo. Well, I mean, we're going to be drinking lots of it while we're overseas in the States. So.
It's the whole foods in a small packet.
Yeah. It's incredible. All right, guys. Let's jump into the listener questions. We don't have a Netflix review for you today, but we do have an unpaid product review. It's back. It's back. And we got it. So wait for that coming up end of the show. So first question, how can I tell if I need to take a rest day or if I'm just being soft?
Well, if you take it, then you're being soft. That's how you know.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's an auto regulation question, right? So for me, I know I need a rest day when my head is just not in it. And there's a difference between like a full rest day where you do absolutely nothing and then an active rest day. The rule I always have when I'm choosing between an active rest day and a full rest day is no matter what, I want to try and get at least 15,000 steps in each day. So I'm always choosing a more active day than not. The only time I'd ever take a really like a full rest day where I'm trying to minimize like total movement, which is pretty rare, would be if I've done like a comp or I've done some kind of big athletic event, which I honestly have not done in a long time. But outside of that, I'm not really opting for low movement for 24 hours. It just doesn't make me feel good.
Yeah, you always feel worse.
Always feel worse. I think a lot of powerlifting circles and bodybuilding circles, because they're so big on their recovery and basically treating their nervous system like it's, you know, the be all and end all of their performance, because they are so performance focused that they end up in a position where they're avoiding a lot of movement, and it kind of does trickle through the mainstream a little bit. I would recommend that you always get some form of movement in. So the best way to know if you're being soft or not is to program your rest days so that they're actually in there. That way you don't feel guilty when you take them.
Yeah, an idea I think when you get more experience with your training, I noticed that people tend to have like more levels of rest day. So like full beginners are like, I'm either training or I'm taking a rest day. And then as you get more experience, you're like, rest days can kind of come on like whole different levels where maybe you're just like doing less than you had planned to that day because like you're not feeling as good.
What do you mean?
Recovery is worse. So maybe you had, you know, an hour and a half of training to do.
Yeah.
and because your recovery feels worse, you know, you cut a whole bunch of volume out of it and you like you do half of your programming. That's like kind of like stage one towards like resting more. And then there's where you completely change your program and you had all this stuff to do.
But you're saying that's more advanced though, right? When you
Yeah, I'm saying more advanced, you can have like kind of more stages of different levels of just between like your regular training and completely not moving lying at home in bed.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, completely changing the day where you might have been doing like weights and all this stuff and you just ride the bike and you like you do intervals.
Because
it's like, you feel like that's what you can muster. And then it all went down to like doing, you know, maybe gymnastics holds and like active recovery and stuff like that and like animal flow, all those sort of movements, all the way down to like just doing 10,000 steps, down to like the power lift or rest day, where you like refuse to get off the couch. And I find just having like different stages of rest day, if you can call it rest day, really makes a big difference because it's not as black and white. You still can feel really good and you can like pick the most appropriate depending on how bad you need it.
Yeah, it's what you said. It's not black and white. It's always there's always a gray area with how your body feels. That's why it is auto regulation, because you're trying to regulate based off a day-to-day feeling. And even in the session, you can vary the intensity, right? If it says RP8 and RP8 on a good day for you is say 140 kilos on a deadlift, RPA8 on a really bad day might be like 70 kilos on a deadlift.
Yeah, it's almost like I just look at it as like one massive long spectrum, all the way from giving like 0.5% less effort than like your maximum is like the beginning of the spectrum, and then not getting out of bed is the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It's like so many different options along that spectrum you can do on a debate depending on how you feel.
Yeah. And to your point about being soft, you're not soft in the sense that you're resting when you should be training. I think softness comes in when there's a level of effort that you know you can be doing and you're not doing that effort. And this is as simple as that. Because intensity is always relative, and intensity can always, if you're always pushing intensity, you can do more harm than good. And so when it comes to being soft, I would never be scared of pulling back that intensity a lot, as long as the effort is still there. And effort can come through other things. Effort can be taking the effort to not go as intense.
Yep.
Some people are addicted to intensity. It takes effort for them to pull back, to go, no, I'm going to actually pace this. I'm going to actually slow down today. Because their auto response to training is, let's just go as hard as we possibly can. 3, 2, 1, go. Absolute red line. And that's not good. That's not good. So smart effort, intelligent effort, applied in the right scenarios, there's no such thing as being soft.
Yeah, it's like three stages. Like first is just super soft person that literally just skips training constantly.
Yeah.
Then there's like next level up, which is like, man, I just like never miss my training. And then the top level is I always train when I should train and I never train when I shouldn't be training.
Mm.
And that is like the top level.
Mm.
That's where I'd imagine, you know, I don't know, someone like Michael Phelps is at, where like he always trains when he has to train. As soon as he's not meant to be training, there's no like, he never gets dragged into a session.
Mm. A good rule of thumb I try and use, and I've tried to use for a long time, and I've probably only broken it maybe like 2 or 3 times in the last decade, is trying not to rest longer than 3 days in a row. So doing some kind of structured exercise, obviously there are days where you like walk around a lot, and you move around a lot, but doing an actual gym session or a park session or something structured where you're like, okay, I'm going A through to Z, that's actually a lot, A through to C, say for example, I'll really try and have something in there at least once every 3 days. And that generally keeps you on track. Once you kind of push out that 3 days of no structured training, it's not so much you're becoming less fit or you're becoming less strong or you're getting fat or whatever. It's more you're losing the good habits and the good routines that serve you so well and have such a positive trickle effect into the other areas of your life. And that's really what it's about. And that structured thing can be anything, right? From a yoga session, through to, you know, a CrossFit class, through to just doing some bodybuilding, whatever it might be. And that's what I would be thinking about, just trying to keep those good habits more than anything.
Mm. So one other interesting thing, I don't know what the science is on this that I'll add, and I've noticed it from my endurance training now, and it's that I find with, if you're about to do like endurance training, so like 1/2 hour, like to 2 hours, that sort of area, the two biggest things that usually go into your recovery are like your sleep and your nutrition. And if you haven't got enough sleep, I just find it doesn't really affect your endurance that much. Like you can still, like I like, you know, 4 or 5 hours enough sleep, because whatever happened, you can still get out there and you can honestly still just go run and bike and run, swim, whatever. So I'm doing quite a lot of that recently. And it's honestly pretty fine. But if you try and do like really good snatches or really good clean jerks or like Fran, like a really hard CrossFit style workout, and you haven't slept, I always find it's like really hard to get going, and you just really often, it's honestly the last thing you feel like doing.
Mm.
But then it's the reverse with eating. You know, if you haven't eaten that well, you can usually just still man up and do a really good clean and jerk.
Yeah.
Maybe you've under-eaten like the day before. But if you haven't fueled with your endurance training, like that makes a way bigger difference.
Right.
And like 30, 40 minutes in, like you just feel like you have absolutely nothing, regardless of how well like you've slept and maybe you've taken all the rest days in the world.
Mm.
So I don't know what the science is, but I do think there's something to that, which is like depending on the style of training, it's like some forms of shortened recovery demand more rest for that type of activity, and other forms of shortened recovery demand different amounts of rest, depending if you're doing endurance or more like really high intensity training.
I think you lost me there. Anyway, next question. Is years of CrossFit going to wear out my joints? Oh man, that really depends. That's so circumstantial from the kind of genetics that you have for tendons and cartilage, and all the way down to what kind of program you follow, what kind of coaching you have, what gym you have, like what country you're in. I mean, some countries, you know, CrossFit is fucking way colder, right? And then doing that kind of level of intensity and that kind of dynamic movement on the joints in really cold countries is obviously just more harmful than it is, you know, repeating that over and over again than it is in like countries where, you know, it's a lot warmer in the climates and you feel a lot looser.
Iceland's a super dangerous place to do CrossFit.
Yeah, so you get so shit at CrossFit if you're doing Iceland.
It's almost impossible.
Show me one good CrossFit out of Iceland. No, in all seriousness, there is some longevity issues with CrossFit.
Mm.
Yeah, big time. It's more that, you know, CrossFit can be done extremely well with good coaching, with good programming, with individualization, but then is it really CrossFit at that point? You know, CrossFit is varied movements, high intensities, broad time modal domains, in a group setting, competitive, right? That's the bread and butter. But those are like all the things you start to take away. Oh no, we're going to individualize a bit more. We're going to scale it a bit more. We're not going to do this one for time. We're going to do it for quality. And you know, Joe's going to do this, but Ben's going to do that.
Mm.
We're not really doing CrossFit anymore, you know, in the purest sense, right? And so if you're doing CrossFit in the pure sense, in terms of, you know, less structure, you know, a bit more randomness, competitive four time in a group setting, despite the level of coaching, right? The quality of movement, if you're kind of group template and it's not really that individualized, you do have to be careful with your longevity for sure. I know the approach we take at our gyms, we've completely restructured how we program. You know, we have 6-day splits, we have 3 to 4 week progressions. We've taken out a lot of the dynamic movements, a lot of the Olympic lifting, the high rep Olympic lifting, we do a lot less of, maybe once a fortnight, once a week, maybe a max. This is because we're starting to realize now, you know, with a decade at least for most people, or for the early people, a decade of CrossFit under their belt, there are some longevity issues. There are some serious concerns about the level of joint and tendon health. And it's stuff that we've suffered through personally and lessons that we've taken and now we're applying into our gyms, right? So that the people we are serving and we're helping, we're concerned with not their time in the open this year necessarily, we're concerned about how easily they can go for a surf and pick up their kids when they're 50.
Mm. It's also just, I find, really, you probably could do it, but realistically, in like general life, it's actually really hard, because to just like always be ready on every day to do like some random pretty hard CrossFit workout is like, that is really the challenge. Like, because if you haven't done your mobility work and like all that sort of prep, and then you just like get to the gym at like 5 o'clock, it's like really hard to be genuinely prepared to do CrossFit workouts and not like have you moving not very well or just like feeling bad after it. Whereas it's quite easy to like, you know, have a hectic schedule and not take care of yourself and maybe have a plane trip and still get in and do some like easier bodybuilding style work or aerobic work. It's just like, you can do that even if you turn up to the session pretty unprepared for it.
Mm.
So I think just realistically, I find it hard to, for myself and for other people, to see them like long-term being able to do CrossFit in like a really sustainable fashion when it's just like one of 10 things they've got to do that day.
The people that are doing that well are usually sort of like the tip of the spear of genetics. They might not look like it, and they might not look like Rich Ferny, but maybe on a, like a tendon structure, on a cartilage structure level, and just like a total resilience level, they are in the genetic tip of the spear, right? Yeah. And they might have started CrossFit in their late 30s or in their 40s or whatever, and they have that resiliency that other people don't have. And you look at them, they go, they're older, they can do it, they don't move that well, they're fine. They're lucky, they're not like everyone else. And most people can't tolerate that level of volume.
Yeah.
You know, we've had clients where they hurt their neck doing a street press, right? It's a basic movement, you've warmed up, you've prepped the shoulders, you've done accessory work, and they're pressing a barbell overhead, and they hurt their neck. Okay, it's just to show you the human body can break very easily. It also can tolerate a lot, but it can also break very easily. So keeping that in mind, you do have to be really intuitive about yourself and your body. You have to know yourself really well before you go and commit to a high volume dynamic program like CrossFit. So to answer the question specifically, is years of CrossFit going to wear on your joints? Absolutely, it is. It absolutely is going to. All resistance and weight training exercise is going to wear on your joints, but CrossFit is just going to do it in a way that's kind of like amplified and sped up in most scenarios.
Well, you generally just say like the more dynamic the contractions, the more the general wear and tear on your joints is going to be than slower ones.
Yeah, and the volume as well. Yeah. The amount of squats and hinging and pressing that you do in a CrossFit class is definitely high, which is why we took out so much volume from our program, right? You know, we'd stretch that hour would usually spill over by 10 minutes and, you know, minimum 6 to 7 working sets in the strength portion, and then you're looking at 20, 30 minute AMRAPs with super high volume squats, super high volume hinging and pressing, and we stripped all of that back. We put in way more coaching, we put in way more quality of movement, much more warm-ups, and then we just focused a lot more on the quality, far less on how much volume we could fit in a session, and the results speak for themselves. People are a lot less injured, people enjoy themselves more, they're just really not as tired, right? Of course, people get sore, people live around during the day, but it just happens far less, you know? It might only happen to someone that does the program regularly, maybe once a fortnight, maybe once every 3 weeks, but, you know, people used to come in every day and be walking around, and that's just... It's just immaturity. It's just inexperience. And
sometimes you realize it's like, is CrossFit more fun if you do it 5 days a week or once or twice a week?
Mm.
You don't have to do it 5 days a week. You still do it twice a week.
Yeah.
And that twice a week still comes around really often.
Yeah. I think the trap most people fall into is that it is so fun, right? It is so enjoyable, but you don't know what you don't know, and you always take for granted what you already have, right? And what you already have is a body that functions well and moves well, right? Because you haven't thrashed it for that long yet. And what you don't know is that you're looking at a serious injury 3 or 4 years down the track if you keep on this path. But you don't know that thing until you get there, right?
Mm.
And so you just move in, and now things start to niggle. This doesn't quite work the same way it used to. Oh, I used to be able to do this much volume, but I can't anymore. Next, you know, a back goes, a neck goes, a shoulder goes, a hip goes, and it's just never the same. It's just hard to bring it back. And people want to get back to where they were. They want to get back to that same volume when they started, right? They want to chase those workout times that they started with. And if they're not there, they're unhappy. The gym sucks. This program sucks. You know, these coaches suck. Your body is just not there anymore. You just didn't look after it. And now you can't do it anymore. It's the same for me. I realize it with my knees there and my back. There are certain movements now in certain volumes and loads I will never be able to do again because I paid the price. Well, I'm paying the price now, but I did that damage early on. I didn't know that I was going to end up in this position here because at the time I wasn't feeling that pain, right? I was just moving through it, I was pushing through it, and now paying for it, right? And that's just a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. But once you accept it, then you can move forward and then you can enjoy your training, right? It's hard though, easier said than done.
Yeah, and I feel like the more you do it very, very frequently, the more likely you are just to completely drop it one day. Whereas if you can find like a much lower, more sustainable amount, then you can potentially enjoy it for like, maybe not a lifetime, but a very long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea would be to find something that you enjoy for the rest of your life, right? Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so moving on. Next question. What is... Just that's more of an in the black question, okay? Let's go to more of an after show question. That was a business-related question about us hiring coaches and maintaining them, which I'd love to answer on an in the black. But to end the listener questions for this week, is decreasing volume always going to be more beneficial for results in a strength cycle?
Well, not if you decrease all the way to zero. Then you're not training.
One rep a week.
No. Obviously, it's not always beneficial.
It depends, right?
Yeah, it's going to depend if you're doing too much at the moment. The only thing I will add for sure is, and I got this when I first started training from Jim Wendler, starting with less is generally always beneficial. So like starting, rather than pulling out volume, but starting with less than what you think is generally the best way to go, because you can always add. Whereas like starting with a bit more than what you think, he always preached, and you find this out pretty quickly in your own training journey. Starting with more than what you think is generally a bad option.
Yeah. Yeah.
From an injury point of view, and then also just an improvement point of view. If you just add volume, then you can keep improving. Whereas if you start with the most amount of volume you can handle, then you can't add any volume.
It's like if you were... like when I used to get coached when I was first starting at the gym, say I'm doing a movement, right? Say I'm doing an Olympic lift, and you know, this wasn't the fault. I mean, it was this coach's fault, but they had the best intentions, you know, and they would get me to practice a rep, right? For example, hey, I want you, when you do this next snatch, I want you to keep the bar closer to your hips. I want you to shrug more at the top. Okay, cool, do a rep. Okay, do another one. After about the third rep, even though you're with an empty bar, because it's a new movement and it's so taxing, you just like, the mental gears are just churning because you're trying to figure out how to coordinate all these movements. So it's exhausting, right? It's a new movement. And they go, okay, another one. By the time you get to, you know, empty bar 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 reps, and I can't apply the cues anymore. Can't make the changes in the movement, and I'm fatiguing, and I'll default back to the pattern that they're trying to fix, and I go, oh, that's not working, rest the bar on the ground. That is the same idea with any program, right? You have to move properly first before you add the volume, right? The movement quality comes first, but the mindset in CrossFit, when a lot of people started, just to kind of bring it back to that, is just kind of, you know, our experience in the CrossFit gyms is the volume kind of starts, you know, even though it said consistency, intensity, or what was it? Movement, consistency, intensity, something like that. It was more like...
it's mechanics, consistency.
Intensity. The mechanics part was net. The intensity part was always first.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were trying to do it all at once, really. That was the idea. So when it comes to the question about for strength, it's with the caveat, as long as you have the mechanics, as long as you move well consistently, then the volume obviously needs to come down towards the end. But it depends what kind of strength you're looking at. Are we talking about a one rep max strength? Yeah, absolutely. You do need to bring the volume down by the end because you're practicing. Well, you need to hit high percentages, and you can't hit high percentages for reps. But if you're trying to get good for 5 reps, then it's obviously you can add more volume in. But if you're taking a traditional sense, what most people do, they're trying to get strong in, say, like a 20-week cycle. Yeah, the volume's going to go up, or it's going to start low, it's going to build up, and then it's going to go back down. And it's going to do that forever, however many weeks that you need to do. Because to peak, you need to bring the volume out of the system, right? Super compensation. For those of you that don't know what that means, essentially, if you've built up a lot of volume, you go into what is like a deload phase, which is basically you've reached a state called overreaching, where your body is on that threshold of blowing itself out, hitting absolute fatigue. It needs rest, it needs to recover. It can't recover from the volume that you're giving it. It's right on that edge. And then it's like the perfect time, and it always doesn't work out perfectly, but the idea is that right when you start to reach that threshold where the body's like, no more, no more, no more, you pull all the volume out, you keep the intensity, and the body super compensates. And what that means is it ramps up its recovery process because it's trying to recover for 100 units of volume, and now you've given it 50 units of volume, and it's got this amplified recovery process, and that's where you get the strength benefits, right? It's where the nervous system creates that massive adaptation because now you've put in all this fuel, all this resources, all this recovery, and it's super compensating because of the drop in deficit, because of the deficit between the volume now and how much, like all the recovery systems, like working in overdrive. So that usually takes a week for those effects to take place. Doesn't feel like you're always working that hard in the week, your volume's down, but that is where you're going to see those good strength gains.
Yeah, one other good point we had Amir Fazeli, Adonis Athletics. It's like a pretty big strength company and gym and multiple gyms and program in Australia. And when he was on the show, he had a good point, and it's that basically unless you're at 80% or above, maybe like down to 70% for deadlift, maybe even a bit higher, like 85% for like upper body presses and stuff, you're not really training strength. Anything underneath that, like, it's still important because, you know, you're doing assistance exercises and staying healthy, but you're not really training strength. So if you're training for strength and looking at pulling out volume, you also be looking at what is my volume at like 80% and above, because that's really your strength work, and everything underneath that is not your strength work. So you might look at changing your volume of your actual strength work, because sometimes you can think like, oh yeah, I was doing strength work, like I was doing this, but it was below 80%, it was like 60%, 65%. That wasn't really your strength work.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. So hopefully that answers your question. There will be absolutely a decrease in volume, assuming you've got the mechanics, towards the end of a strength cycle. Okay, before we jump into the unpaid product review for this week, did we even talk about how training's going? No, we didn't even mention that's going. Give us a...
So right now we are 16 days in.
Perfect segue. Obviously, are you still getting your programming through True Coach?
Yes.
Nice. So True Coach, for those of you who don't know about it yet, is basically the software that Raf uses at the moment and I have used in the past to receive training from your coach remotely, which seems to be the trend of this kind of future of online coaching. And it just streamlines it the best way possible. It's the smoothest connection, online connection, between you and your coach, right? Send each other videos, message, that's something. You're smiling, what's up?
I was thinking fitness first yesterday, and yeah. I saw this guy. I was like, this is why you need True Coach. Just bench pressing, and he had a laptop on the bench next to him with an Excel spreadsheet open.
Oh, disaster.
A guy just sits on the laptop.
Oh, no.
Sat on it.
Oh, no.
Sat on it, and like it was like maybe a third open. I walked past earlier and I saw the Excel spreadsheet and I was kind of already laughing. And then this guy just didn't look and just sat on his laptop. Seemed like it was okay.
Yeah.
But my point is, he should have had True Coach and just had his program on his phone.
Yeah.
If you're still going on the spreadsheets, like you just need to spend, you know, a few dollars a month and actually get a proper software that works really well. The app works sick, and just get your program through that.
Perfect. Guys, truecoach.co/MMP is where you can pick up an offer for a free trial and then a percentage off your next month. All right. Unpaid product review on it. Fuck.
Here we go. So I'm in training
right now.
We're 16 days in. 16 days to 100K goal. One big mistake I made last time was just, I was just like, oh, I'll definitely be able to do this goal. And I probably started a bit slow at the start. So this time I'm making sure, like, hitting my training from the word go and getting the most out of my 100 days. It's been interesting. Like, I'm spending probably, I think about 4 sessions on the bike. I'm just trying to make sure...
A week,
yeah. 3 to 4 sessions on the bike, making sure we don't overdo it. I'm also training for a swim run, which is like a 2.5-3 hour event. So I'm also getting aerobic training through that, which is running and swimming. So it is a lot. I've really pulled back everything else, which has been good. It's mostly just like upper body bodybuilding, and like lower body is serious, just like low volume maintenance. Mostly eccentric work, because all the biking is only concentric. So staying healthy, like doing some eccentric work with the weights. But it has been good. Man, I almost feel like when you do aerobic work as opposed to like really high intensity Metcon stuff, your well-being like only goes up. Obviously it's to a point, I'm sure, but I felt that I have felt really good outside of the training, like haven't felt beat down. If I was doing this much high intensity conditioning, I think I'd be feeling way worse.
Yeah. Definitely leaned away from high intensity more and more in my training, I find. I still like to bring intensity to strength work.
Of course.
Yeah, but I just don't. I don't know, sustained high intensity now, I find like my body's not really rejecting it. Like I can still recover from it, but my mind almost taps out a lot earlier in it.
Hard, man. It's hard to go back to work and stuff like that. I've definitely still got some high intensity days on this air bike, but that's probably only like once, maybe twice a week where it's really sucks.
Yeah.
Most of the days a week, it's like sub-maximal and just accumulating more time on the bike.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, for my power clean work, it's different because I haven't programmed Olympic lifting strength for a while, like for myself, like years, years. And so I was just trying to remember what the progressions are for improving an Olympic lift. And I've gone a bit more traditional than I originally planned. So I've added in some like pause work in the power clean. So pausing at the knee on the way up, pausing off the floor. So like 3-position pauses, that sort of thing. Clean deadlifts as well. I'm trying to kind of feel what that weight's like in my hands, but I've kept the volume relatively low. That is just because my overall volume is down just generally, like my monthly volume. So I figured just a small stimulus, like volume wise, is going to have a potent effect. You know, the body is really good at adapting to whatever you give it, right? So if you're really good at doing a lot of volume, then it takes more volume to get more of an adaptation.
Yes.
But the benefit of being relatively low volume, and that's not low volume in the sense of low volume compared to the rest of the world. Low volume compared to what I used to do.
Mm.
You know, three working sets twice a week seems to be fairly adequate for continued strength progression. I am higher reps at the moment, so doing sets of like 4 and 5, which for power work is quite a lot of reps.
So you do like 3 sets of 4.
Yeah, 3 sets of 5, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
With pauses, which is a long set.
That's a hard set.
Yeah, but it's more just kind of like injury prevention, maintenance, kind of building the base at the start. Technique, right? Movement work as well. So that when I do get to the higher weights, because when it gets to a certain point and it's heavy, your body moves automatically.
Mm.
Like, you, it's in autopilot. Once you pull that weight to a certain point, you're going under, your feet are moving, and you have no control over it, right? So just trying to make sure that those movement patterns are just like really solid before I start ramping the weight up, because if I start ramping the weight up and I haven't fixed those issues, it's too late to fix them. They're going to be there. So focusing on that at the moment, and then have kind of just kept up some upper body strength work. I'm trying to get to 2 to 3 classes a week now at the gym, just because the mental benefits of training with other people, so you just can't put a price on it. You just can't measure it. It's just getting amongst with your friends, your community, amongst the gym and the coaches, just like that feeling of not having to think about what you're doing, just being told what to do, just makes working out so much more enjoyable. Because you know, okay, I'm going to start this and in 60 minutes, I'm going to finish everything. Whereas when you're on your own clock sometimes, you just don't know how long it's going to take you. You know you can get it done in 45 minutes, but between talking to members, maybe cleaning little parts of the gym, answering an email here and there, it drags out to 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It's a little bit frustrating.
And you only did 40 minutes of work.
Yeah. So the rest of the training has been good, but trying to just kind of do classes really, because I get a really good workout in, it's time efficient, and it's not draining mentally. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment. Sweet. Okay.
When are you going to go for your first, like, are you going to go for heavy power cleans anytime soon?
Oh, not in this early stages. Mm. No, the heaviest I've done is, I think I did a double at 130.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's still relatively low compared to 160. I mean, it's under 80% still. So, unpaid product review of the week, Humble Fit. We had Humble Fit Nick in the studio, but we haven't released that episode yet. So Nick is the owner of this new company, a new apparel company called Humble. Is it Humble Fit or Humble?
So this is Humble.
Humble.
Humble, so it's Humble, like the word Humble, but it's spelled like Dumble at the end.
Yeah, so it's Hum, HUMBELL. And he gave us a bunch of products to try. His first release has 19 products. So we got the socks, the shorts, and like it seems like the flagship classic tee. I wore the tee around at the expo on the first day. Raph's worn the shorts. Tried the shirt. Now the shirt is a standard cotton blend that he's picked up from somewhere, but it's a good fitting shirt and it's got some nice colors. So really what you're looking at from this shirt is just quality design. And it stands out. Like the Humble logo is solid.
Mm.
Like that text, that block with the font, square around it.
Yeah, the font is cool.
Stands out. Yeah, it's done well there for sure. So from that perspective, it's a cotton shirt. I think we might even use the same supplier on our MMP shirts, and it's just a really thick, heavy duty cotton blend. It's got a really good fit. It's like good length in the sleeves, good length in the torso. It fits nicely, it looks athletic, and I'm sure it's very reasonably priced as well.
Yeah, I was wearing the shorts. I'm looking at the name. That is called the Essential Shorts, the Humble Shorts. In terms of the most important thing for me is like, do they stretch for my hips and legs? And they do that.
For your fat booty.
If I was to compare them, yeah, like they've got a pretty similar sort of good stretch to like a Lulu shorts, and they're pretty breathable and everything like that. I'm just looking at what they're made out of. Made out of polyester and elastane. So they were actually like breathable. It was like what the most thing you want, and they're like pretty thin, which is like generally I find also pretty good, because if they're too thick, then they like absorb too much sweat and they get so heavy, particularly in summer. So I did like that. Probably didn't really like having the dumbbell on the shorts. There's like a small dumbbell on the shorts.
Not a fan.
Yeah, for me, because I wear like go all day wearing these shorts, it just means like if I get to our co-working space to like, you know, do a podcast, you got a picture of a dumbbell on your shorts,
It's lame.
I'm on the like most up to date on fashion, but I'm pretty sure that's not the coolest thing in fashion.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, I just prefer to have that stuff off, because then I can just transition between being at the gym where having a dumbbell is probably okay and being out of a gym where having a dumbbell is a bit weird.
Yeah.
More easily. So that was like my only main thing I didn't like about it.
Well, for me, like a lot of the, so for, I think I've talked about this before, but for shorts, like the CrossFit mentality is to not have a shirt on, right? Or a lot of people in these sort of gyms, they train without shirts. So you get, well, I mean, I'm being critical on it, but people will look at the waistband of the short is what I'm saying. The shirt's not going to cover it. And the waistband, whilst it's functional, design-wise, it looks very cheap. And so my issue is that if you're going to wear nice shorts, you're going to pay good money for them, and they're athletic. You want them, you want the design to be slick, you want the fit to be slick, you want the finishes on the short to be slick, and just that top part, that waistband, it's just not slick. And it just looks a bit cheap. And that combined with the dumbbell, probably why I haven't
worn them. Yeah, I'm probably a bigger fan of the shirt. I thought the shirt looked really good.
Yeah.
And like you're wearing the X-Men, I was like, it is a cool shirt. So I'm excited about that. Funny thing I've realized at the expo is like what you wear to the gym now is a massive thing. There was almost no apparel at the Fitness Expo like 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's such a big thing. So I think it's something you just got to try out the different brands and see what works well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's our review on it. So let me know what you guys think if you try it. If you go to humblefit.com.au.
Stayhumble.com.
Stayhumble.com.
He's a very cool guy that started the company. And he's like really not doing it, I think, to make $1 million out of it. Like he's doing because he wants to start something really cool with some friends. He's already got a job and he does cool video work, which you can find out on the In The Black.
Yeah.
So it's not like some money-making scheme where you just put a logo on a shirt and make a bunch of money.
Yeah. No, he's very ethical, he has good intentions, and he's a good guy. Stayhumble.com. So thanks so much for listening, guys. Remember that we do have the upcoming podcast tour in May, we'll be announcing soon. But look, just stay up to details and everything on the Instagram. We put a lot of the information and kind of the stuff. If you want to ask questions as well during the week, that's probably the best place to do it as well. But for now, guys, thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys.